Welcome back to the THN Prospect Podcast. I am Ken Campbell, senior writer and all-round bon vivant at THN, joined by our watcher of wee ones, our prospect expert, Ryan Kennedy. How you doing, Ryan?
I'm doing great. That was a good one.
Yeah, that's not bad. I'm trying for a different one every week. Anyways, off the top here, I know we didn't really plan for this, but some things happen in the playoffs that are just kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. And on Wednesday night in Charlotte, North Carolina, right?
It is.
Yeah. Okay. The Lehigh Valley Phantoms of the American Hockey League won a 2-1 5 overtime game in the American Hockey League playoffs to take a 3-1 lead in that series. And a guy by the name of Alex Lyon, who's the goalie for Philadelphia, or for Lehigh, stopped 94 of 95 shots, 54 shots in overtime. They were outshot 54-29 in overtime. Uh-huh. And in that game, in the first period, Samuel Morin, who's a top prospect for the Philadelphia Flyers, got hurt. Ooh. So they played five defensemen in a 5 overtime game.
Oh, man.
And so, you know, I mean, to me, I don't know. This is funny because I just talked to Alex Lyon and I did a blog on him that's going to be appearing on Thursday on the THN website. And, you know, here's a guy who's 25 years old, you know, wasn't drafted, you know, isn't a top prospect for the Flyers. But, I mean, you look, they've got Brian Elliott, they've got Michael Neuwirth, neither of whom distinguished himself as an NHL goalie this year. Both have 1 year left on their deals at, you know, 2.75, 2.5. Wouldn't be a stretch to buy one of those guys out. Mm. You know, I wonder if this doesn't have an opening. And also, what I'm thinking is, you know, with a guy like Alex Lyon, who's obviously proving that he can do it at the American League level, and Carter Hart on the way, you know, maybe, hoping against all hope here that the black hole that is the Philadelphia Flyers crease may no longer be the case.
Maybe. And and don't forget Peter Mrazek, RFA in Philadelphia. Not that he's been the answer either.
Oh yeah, I forgot about him too.
Yeah, they have too many NHL, let's say, aged goaltenders. But the prospects are coming up, and Felix Sandstrom is another one to watch for in the future. But under Ron Hextall, they've drafted goalies basically every year, or at least one per year if you average it out. And I mean, obviously they're putting in the work to solve that, and a pretty remarkable story. And it's kind of funny because the same night that happened, I was in Hamilton
for the OHL final.
And that game went into overtime. And as a journalist and somebody that had to drive back to Toronto, I was cursing that it went to overtime. Like, now I got to wait 15 minutes for the intermission, and then who knows how long it will be.
Oh, it just so sucks to be.
Oh, I know. Journalism problems, right?
Yeah.
But luckily, Noah Carroll, unlikely hero for the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds. He's a defenseman, doesn't score often, but he won it on a breakaway in the first overtime, so all was well there.
And apparently quite an overtime, too, from what I understand.
It was very back and forth. I was saying to some other writers, like, if the players had played like that during the game, it wouldn't have gone to overtime. It would probably have been, like, some, you know, kooky, like, 6-4 score. But it was a very good game overall, and, overtime was a lot of fun, I got to say.
Well, you know, I mean, the playoffs are always fun that way. You always get these crazy games, and we'll see what happens. I mean, the Lehigh Phantoms here, they're one game away from going to the conference final, where they would play the Toronto Marlies, and these were the two best teams in the American Hockey League this mm-hmm. year. So, you know, that if they can, you know, if Lehigh can finish it off here, that sets up to be a pretty good series, I think, both in terms of how good the teams are and in terms of the quality of prospects, because both teams have pretty good prospects. You know, you got the Flyers with Carter Hart and Philippe Myers, and, you know, I'm not sure if the Sioux ends up losing in the OHL final, if maybe Morgan Frost makes an appearance here in the playoffs, so it should be pretty interesting.
Yeah, and you look at those two teams, and obviously Toronto with a lot of firepower, and they're going to have a ton of rest because they swept Syracuse. So hopefully Lehigh Valley gets a little bit of time if they do end up taking Charlotte in that series, because they've already played a full extra game and a half.
Yeah.
Almost two extra games,
yeah, exactly,
on top of that one game.
Exactly.
But yeah, a lot of talent on both squads.
Yeah,
for sure.
That's funny because they were playing back-to-back. That was a back-to-back,
a second of
a back-to-back. But the good thing is they don't play again until Saturday.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, so there you go. So, I mean, I really wanted to get that off the hop here because we love that kind of stuff around here. So, speaking of important games, speaking of, you know, where things are going championship-wise, I guess. That's not really a word, but we've got the RBC Cup.
Word.
Yeah. We've got the RBC Cup and actually the Clark Cup.
USHL finals as well.
The RBC Cup, which begins this weekend in Chilliwack. And as always, there's always a few interesting people to watch in this one. I think, you know, I know Wenatchee is in it. Chilliwack, obviously, is in it. Steinbeck, Manitoba is in it.
Yeah.
Wellington Dukes and Ottawa.
Yeah.
And there obviously are some pretty good prospects to watch. Some of the kids who are probably, you know, going the college route instead of playing major junior. One of them, I know from us just doing the...
Draft preview
is Slava Demin, a defenseman from Wenatchee.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you can tell us a little bit about some of these guys and who we should maybe look out for in this tournament, Ryan.
Yeah, I'm going to go one per team. And Slava Demin, he's the top prospect in this tournament right now. He's a Denver commit. Just, you know, like a solid guy, skates well, passes well. The knock on him from the scouts I talked to, I'm not sure what you heard, Ken, was he needed a little bit more urgency in his game.
Absolutely. That's exactly what I heard. I think there were scouts that this year were left a little wanting by him, and they wanted to see a little more, but that I chalk up to being an 18-year-old kid who's playing in a league that probably is not up to his talent level, you know, so he's probably playing down a little bit, and he's probably a little bit bored.
Very possible, yeah. It's kind of a top-heavy league in the BCHL, so I can see where you're saying there.
Yeah.
Going out to Chilliwack, the hosts, Chilliwack, the city, which was named after the okay Canadian rock band.
Oh, they were more than okay. They were more than okay.
I kid.
Yeah, okay.
I kid. Skyler Brindamore is one to watch. He's an Edmonton Oilers pick. Of course, the son of new Carolina Hurricanes coach Rod Brindamore.
Of course.
He is committed to Michigan State, just like his dad. And, you know, he's got some size, got some hockey sense. I think he's going to be obviously a long-term prospect. For Oilers fans, you're going to have to wait a while to see if Skyler pans out. But he was a late-round pick, so I think that's fine there.
Yeah.
The Steinbach Pistons of Manitoba, which is a fantastic name, by the way.
That's a pretty good name.
Yeah, they got Matt Thiessen in net. He's got some pretty decent size. I saw him at the Junior A Top Prospects game, and it was not a great goalie showcase, I would say. But he has had a really good year for the Pistons. He's a University of Maine commit. So he can help out Steinbach there. Wellington has Mason Snell, who was committed to Penn State University. Saw him at the Junior A Top Prospects game as well. And he's got some nice skill. He's a defenseman. He's got some nice skill back there. Not like a ton of size, but, you know, I think there's something there. And, again, you're not going to see him for a while, but I think he might be a late-round pick in 2018. And then with Ottawa... No one really jumps out, but they do have Finn Evans, who was up for the draft last year, was passed over. Obviously, he can be drafted again this year. He's a Princeton commit. Originally was playing with St. Mike's in the OJHL and then went out west and then came back and now plays for Ottawa. Two-way guy, has good size. I think, you know, we just need to see more of a high-end from Finn, and finally, I also mention Ethan Manderville, son of Kent, also plays for that team. He's 6'4" already, and I believe he's north of 200 pounds.
Interesting.
Not sure if he's a draft prospect, but kind of fun to watch.
Okay, now, I'm not sure, and please don't bombard me with hate if I'm wrong, but I believe Kent Manderville married Kim Ratushny, who is Dan Ratushny's sister, who played on the Canadian Olympic team and also was a gold medal winning women's hockey player for Canada as well.
Uh-huh.
So I think that would be his mom.
Good genes.
So very, very good genes there. And I was just looking up on Elite Prospects when you mentioned Mason Snell. And I thought, is that Chris Snell's kid? And it is Chris Snell's kid. He was a guy who was a very, very good junior player in Ottawa, a defenseman in Ottawa in the late 80s, early 90s. You know, had a couple of cups of coffee in the NHL, played a few games with Toronto, played a few games with the LA Kings, and, you know, bounced around the minors a little bit. So, and now he's a scout. He's actually a scout with the Winnipeg Jets.
Oh, very good.
So, yeah, so there's some real, as always, there's these big time family connections when you see these kids coming up. So, so let's jump over to the USHL, which we've already talked about a little bit with their Clark Cup final coming up. Who's in that again, Brian?
It's Youngstown and Fargo. Pretty nice matchup. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay. You got Curtis Hall for Youngstown. He's up for the draft. And then Jacob Schmitz-Festrup for Fargo. He's up for the draft, too. He's been passed over a couple of times, but he's really kind of growing into his body, so I expect him to go.
Okay, well, speaking of being passed up in the draft, maybe you can tell us a little bit about how the USHL draft works. It's kind of
a
two-tier thing, right?
Yeah, so they have the phase one and the phase two. Phase one is essentially your typical young kid draft. So it's the 2002 birthdays this year. A lot of interesting names, obviously. Stephen Halliday was the number one pick overall for Central Illinois. He actually played for the Toronto Marlies up here, or the Marlboros, I should say. But he's a Maryland native. But the phase two draft is what I'm going to talk about today. And this is essentially for players born in 1998 to 2001. And they can come from wherever. So, you know, a lot of junior A circuits, you'll get a couple of kids from Europe. But the ones I want to hone in on here, which were very intriguing, the first was in the first round, the Chicago Steel took defenseman J.D. Greenway, who's at the University of Wisconsin. Now, obviously, he's already with the Badgers and has played with them.
So, like, what are we? What's the deal here?
So here's the deal, and J.D. Greenway is a Toronto Maple Leafs pick. So from what I'm hearing, a lot of USHL teams got wind that Greenway might have some academic eligibility issues at Wisconsin. Got to get the grades up this summer.
Okay.
So they were thinking, well, if he can't, then we would love to have him on our team because this kid is like basically the same size as Jordan Greenway, his older brother. More raw and obviously a blue liner. But Chicago... they grabbed him. They took the plunge there. So now it's kind of a waiting game to see what happens with JD over the summer. And then in the final round, Sioux City took a flyer on David Ferentz, who's at Boston University right now. He's a Nashville Predators pick. Now, I don't have any info on why they did it. Maybe Sioux City, my only theory is that you know, the Terriers had a really stacked blue line, and obviously they continue to bring in players.
Right.
Ferentz had an okay freshman year. I kind of expected a little bit more because he had an amazing World Junior Summer Showcase, showed off some incredible high-end skill from the back end. Had, I think, 8 or 9 points this year with the Terriers. But again, you're playing behind Dante Fabro, Brandon Hickey, Chad Chris. Another kid, Cam Crotty, that we're going to talk about later, Casper Cox-Gonzalo. All of these guys are drafted.
Right.
So maybe Sioux City looked at that situation and said, well, maybe Ferentz wants a bigger role and he'll need a landing place. Who knows? But interesting nonetheless.
But if I'm the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Nashville Predators, if I've got the option of, you know, these guys no longer being in school, would you not look at them either putting them in somewhere in major junior hockey or playing in the American Hockey League?
I mean, you could look at the major junior route. I would say with both of these guys, they're not ready for the AHL. Despite the fact that Greenway has great size, particularly height, he's still filling into his body.
Sure.
And he didn't have a big role with the Badgers when he was there. So he's the type of player that you kind of hope would be in college for 3 or 4 seasons because he could really get a lot out of it, and hopefully that's still the case. Ferentz, he's a smaller defenseman as well, so you figure, you know, the weight room is good for him. With Major Junior, I don't like when kids go from college to Major Junior because it feels like a bit of a step back. Mm. But, you know, all those options are on the table.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, there's been a small defenseman named Ferentz in the NHL before, and it worked out just fine. So
there you go.
So, okay, well, moving on here to the World Championship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously with the NHL playoffs going on, this isn't a front burner thing here in North America, and you know, it seems to take a bit of a backseat. But it's interesting to see what some of these teams do in order to, you know, in terms of putting their team together, and what we've seen, you know, in Canada and the United States, the last couple of years is they'll bring a young guy along. I think, you know, there's a couple of reasons for that. Usually the guy's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, I think it helps sort of plant that seed, you know, and gets them into the program and gets them sort of indoctrinated into everything. And a couple of those guys are, well, one of them is Quinn Hughes, who's, you know, another guy who's up for the draft this year.
Yeah.
For the USA, and Michael DiPietro, the goalie, who's really essentially the third goalie for Canada,
yeah,
at the World Championships this year, the Windsor Spitfires product, and Filip Hronek with the Czech Republic. Don't think these guys are going to get a ton of ice time or you know, a lot of responsibility, but, you know, I mean, it does bear kind of observing what they're doing.
Certainly. And with Quinn Hughes, he already had a couple of points in his first few games, so that was nice for him. Although, just got news today that Charlie McAvoy of the Boston Bruins will be joining, so I wonder what Quinn Hughes' role becomes now that you have Charlie McAvoy, who is an excellent puck-rushing defender himself.
Quinn Hughes may have seen the last of his ice time in this tournament.
It's like, have you played France yet? Because if you played France, then you can play, but otherwise, probably not. Yeah. Or Korea, maybe. Filip Hronek, the Detroit Red Wings pick, playing with the Czech Republic. He's been in the AHL with the Grand Rapids Griffins, developing quite nicely, and I know he's got one goal already last time I checked. He'll probably have the biggest role of any of these players we're talking about because he's a little bit older, and obviously the Czechs aren't as deep in terms of the pool they can draw from. But I think it's good experience for him just to extend his season and to get more reps. And with DiPietro, I mean, he has to go back to junior next year. He just happened to be an amazing goaltender when, you know, right when he came into the OHL. But Vancouver Canucks pick, you know, they have to be happy with the experience he's getting right now, just soaking it all in, hanging out with all that NHL talent. I think it's a real fun opportunity, and I think it's a nice move by Canada to recognize, you know, the value of being in these situations. And, you know, DiPietro, for me, he's got to be Team Canada's goalie of the World Juniors next year.
Well, and so there you go. I mean, he's wearing the Canadian uniform. He's realizing what it means to pull on that uniform, so that when he, as you say, I mean, he appears to be the front runner for Canada's team next year. You know, I mean, he can kind of hit the ground running a little bit with respect to this, because he knows what they expect. For better or for worse, in a lot of ways, Hockey Canada is very formulaic with the way it approaches its national teams. So in that respect, he'll have that indoctrination already. You know, and any time you can be surrounded by all those great players, by, you know, Bill Peters coaching you, I don't, you know, there just doesn't seem to be a downside, even if the kid doesn't get into any games, which he probably won't.
Yeah.
But he's going to practice.
He's
going to practice with them, and he's going to be part of it. So, and if they win the thing, he gets a medal around his neck, which is great for everybody involved, I think.
Indeed.
Yeah. All right. So moving along here, we've got Ryan is always surprising us with these gets that he manages to get, you know, around in his travels around the junior ranks and the like, and obviously, you know, Ryan, you were at the Sault Ste. Marie Hamilton game last night, Wednesday night, and that series is 2-2 and can go either way.
Indeed.
It's funny, you know, I was talking to a scout and I was saying, you know, like, I would have thought the Sioux would have had an easier time in these playoffs.
Yeah.
And they haven't. And he brought up an interesting point. He said, you know, they've got maybe too much skill. You know, like, they're a really skilled team.
I can see that.
And sometimes in the playoffs, you gotta have those dirty, down and dirty, grinding kind of guys.
Mm.
And skill's gonna take you far, and it has taken them far, and it might take this team to a Memorial Cup.
Yeah.
But the road is maybe a little more bumpy when you rely, you know, on skill alone, and you don't maybe have those guys that are maybe a little more battle hardened. But we'll see. Anyways, one of the guys that you spoke to is Tim Gettinger. Tim Gettinger, a New York Rangers prospect who's playing for an absolutely stacked Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds team. So here's Ryan's interview with Tim Gettinger.
I'm here with Tim Gettinger of the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds, and we are in the midst of the OHL final. It's been a big battle. How have you felt about the playoffs as a whole? It seems to have been a pretty good challenge for you guys.
Yeah, definitely. We knew going into playoffs, regardless of who we were going to play, it was going to be tough. And obviously, throughout the playoffs, we've had our ups and downs. But so far, we've made it to the OHL finals, and got to keep moving.
Now, it was a record-breaking regular season for the Hounds, and I mean, this is a franchise that has Wayne Gretzky and Joe Thornton, a ton of really good players. Why do you think things went so right for you guys?
For us, I think, like last year, we had a lot of good players on our team, too. Last year, we had a good team, and then we knew going into this year, going into training camp and everything, we had a lot of good players, young guys, older guys. We gelled really well and added a couple of players at the trade deadline, which really gelled our team together, and it really got us going for the season.
Now, you had a couple of guys from Erie with championship experience in Jordan Sandbrook and Taylor Radish. With Taylor in particular, because he has the international experience as well, what has he brought to the dressing room?
It's been big, both players, since they came over from the from Erie. They've been leaders since day one. They came in, they were vocal, really helped the team too. And for playoffs, obviously, they know what it's like to win. They won a championship last year for Erie, so they've definitely helped us all throughout the playoffs. There's going to be ups and downs, so just keep moving forward.
Now, a couple of very intriguing 2018 draft picks on the team as well. Starting with Barrett Hayton, what can you say about his contributions?
He's been huge for us since training camp. He's come in, even last year he showed a lot of good signs, and then this year he's really taken over. He's a complete 200-foot player. He battles hard every night. Can score great hands, can score goals, and he's been a really good player for us all year.
And Rasmus Sandin on defense, he actually joined the team in October, coming over from Sweden. What has he meant to that blue line that you've seen?
Yeah, it was massive. Obviously, when we heard the news, him coming over, it really made us excited for what he could do. And he came in, and he was dominant from game one. He started playing, and he's done it all year. He's fast, he's shifty, can shoot the puck and score goals, and he's definitely he's been a big player that's joined our team.
Now, for you personally, you're a New York Rangers prospect, and it's kind of an interesting time for the Rangers because they're actually building up more of a pipeline. I was kind of thinking, like, in Traverse City when they had the rookie tournament, I was there a couple of years ago, and it kind of seemed like it was, like, you and Brandon Halvorsen and a bunch of, like, free agents to kind of fill things out. But now there's, like, a pretty good run of guys coming. What are you seeing in terms of the future of the Rangers?
Yeah, it's a very, very exciting time for the organization. They didn't have the year this year they wanted to, but they're moving forward and getting the younger guys and getting draft picks and getting younger players. And it's definitely a very exciting time to be a New York fan.
What sort of conversations have you had with the Rangers development coaches and execs in terms of what they want to see from you heading into your first pro year next year?
Yeah, for me personally, just moving my feet at all times, obviously. Big down low, get defensively too, defense first before obviously offense, and just a 200-foot game and move my feet at all times and being physically engaged at all times.
And finally, you're an American kid. Just curious, you know, with your OHL experience, playing in a place like Sault Ste. Marie that is such a crazy OHL market, what has your experience been like just being in that atmosphere for the past couple of years?
It's been amazing. Ever since I came in as a 16-year-old into the Sioux, the fans are crazy. They're one of the best fans in junior hockey, and the whole city just really goes around the team and coaching staff. Everything has been great since my first year here, and it's something that's really special going on.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for that, Ryan, and thank you for that, Mr. Gettinger. And so now we move on to the 2018 draft spotlight. And if you haven't heard of this guy yet, you can be excused. But you will be hearing about him, I think, based on his body of work over the last little while. His name is Jonathan Berggren, plays for Skellefteå in the Swedish Elite League, and more importantly, was a stud at the World Under 18 Championships for Sweden. I think he had 7 goals and 10 points or something like that in the tournament or something along. I know he had 10 points.
Yeah.
And is a guy that I think at the beginning of the year, I don't know if you know if you knew who he was, but I don't think a lot of people, he was on a lot of radars, and now he's really moving up. I think he's certainly a second rounder, but you never know. I mean, you never know. This could be a guy where they go, hey, this kid's, maybe we need to take him in the first.
Yeah, and it's an interesting point. Because I think sort of midway through the year, you know, I had him in the top 100, but he was kind of in that murky range of, is he a third rounder, a fourth rounder? I'm not really sure where to put him. And then, yeah, he really caught on. He's a fast, skilled winger. Scouts were kind of curious how he would do on North American ice, and he went to the Five Nations in Plymouth, Michigan, and had a very good tournament there as well. So that was kind of a nice box to check off for him. But yeah, with that World Under 18s, he was just on fire for the Swedes. Excellent tournament. And you're right. I in draft preview, we have him as a second rounder. Spoiler alert, but it's on newsstands now, so get that. But you're right, because when we get to this time of year, you think of some of the guys that make, like, big jumps. You look at a Henrik Borgström in Florida. You look at a Philip Hedel with the Rangers last year. You know, like, when kids make a certain impression, it only takes one team to believe in them. And, you know, if you're drafting at the end of the first round, you're probably a pretty good NHL team. You know, you don't necessarily need somebody right away. But if you look at a kid like Berggren, who has a nice foundation, you know, his frame is, like, pretty average size. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's good for him to get more experience over in Sweden. He did play in the SHL this year, didn't have much of an impact.
I said he was playing in the Swedish League, but actually he played the bulk of his season with Skellefteå's under 20 team.
Yeah.
And put up some good numbers. And his totals at the U18s were 5 goals, 5 assists. 10 points in 7 games.
There you go. Yeah. And he was the leading scorer on his junior team with Skellefteå. Mm-hmm. But, you know, obviously you want to see him keep progressing, and I think whoever drafts him will be very happy with him being back in Sweden. And really the next step is to make some sort of dent in the SHL next year.
Right. And you know, as you said, Ryan, you know, excellent skater from the scouts that I talked to. They talked about him being, you know, an outstanding skater, but they worry a little bit about, you know, the physical aspect of the game, and he doesn't really, you know, put himself into those situations because that's not his strength. Not that he avoids it, but he's going to be at a disadvantage in a lot of physical encounters. So it's obvious what this guy has to do to get to the next level. He obviously has the talent and the skill level and the skating to be able to do it. Now it's just a matter of maybe getting a little bit bigger and maybe a little more physically engaged.
There you go. Yeah.
And moving right along here, we're off to the NHL team spotlight portion of our dining and dancing pleasure here. Going with the Arizona Coyotes, and we've been going backwards, Ryan.
We have.
The NHL, so like...
I want to be fair.
Not a lot of runway left here.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so we've got one more week with Anaheim, and then... you're going to have to think of something else.
Yeah, I got some ideas.
Okay, good. You always do. You always do. Okay, so the Arizona Coyotes, a team that always seems to be on the cusp of doing something special.
They stay on the cusp.
Yeah, and they stay there. They rarely deliver on
that
front.
They have a long-term lease.
Have rarely delivered on this front. But, I mean, there is some hope for the future with this team. And I think, you know, I think with a budget team, it really bears watching these guys because... these are guys who are going to get an opportunity who might not otherwise get the opportunity as early in their development if they were with other teams. That being said, though, Ryan, I really like what the Coyotes did this year with some of their top guys, like Dylan Strome. You know, I mean, he's got the talent to play in the NHL. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if he's got the feet right now to play in the NHL, but I mean, they could have had him up all year, and he could have had a miserable year on a bad team. Instead, they decided they were going to put him in the minors and let him, you know, really kind of dominate at that level and become a player at that level. And I mean, you know, I go back to the lockout in 2004, 2005. You know, you look at Jason Spezza and Eric Staal and a bunch of guys that went back to the American League for that lockout. That was like a jump. That was like a springboard for the rest of their careers, right? And so I really like that they did that. He played on a line with Lawson Crouse and Nick Merkley this year. A line that was dominant at times in the American Hockey League. And I think, you know, I'm really pleased with the way they approached that, you know, especially with, you know, like with Strome and even a guy like Krause, who had effectively been up in the league for a season.
Pretty much.
And they kind of, lots of times it's like, no, we can't send him back because we're going to look stupid and, you know, everything. And they bit the bullet. They sent the guy back. And, you know, hopefully for them, they will, you know, reap the benefits of it down the road.
Yeah, and you know, you look at Dylan Strome when he was first drafted and even before that, and we said, you know, he could be a Joe Thornton kind of player, you know, big dominant center. But keep in mind, when Joe Thornton first came into the NHL, he wasn't the Joe Thornton we know. You know, in Boston, like, he struggled at first, and then eventually he became that great archetype center. But
three goals in his rookie season. Three goals in his rookie season.
There you go.
And was beaten down by Pat Burns, the coach in Boston. I remember one story about one time where they were at practice and Burns kind of said, okay, you guys, you go over and do this. And then he turned to Joe Thornton. He said, okay, Joe, you just go in the corner and shoot the puck because only committed guys are going to be involved in this.
Oh.
Like, it was just like, whoa, talk about like the school of hard knocks,
a
right?
A Burns burn.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, so I mean, he did struggle. Three goals his first year.
There you go. Yeah, so for Dylan Strome, I think the AHL was a great place for him. And Lawson Crouse as well. I mean, this is a player that could be, you know, a nice NHL power forward because of the size he has. You know, maybe he's on your second line or your third line, but when he was in the NHL before, I mean, his ceiling looked like it was going to be fourth line. And, you know, to complete it, Nick Merkley, who I really liked at the World Juniors, playing for Canada, showed a lot of leadership, had a lot of skill as well. Now, unfortunately for him, he got hurt just before the playoffs begun, so he hasn't been on this run with Tucson, but a bright future there. And then two other Roadrunners I'll mention. Kyle Capobianco of your Sudbury Wolves, Ken.
Former Sudbury Wolves defenseman.
There you go.
Destined for greatness.
Yeah. You know, hasn't found the range on offense in the playoffs, but great puck mover, has some nice size to him.
Well, he's clearly not used to playing in the playoffs.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. And then Aiden Hill has been fantastic in net, former Portland Winterhawks standout. Has really given them some solid goaltending. And if they fall to Texas, it's not going to be because of Hill's play. He's been very good there.
And they've got something going here in Tucson. Tucson's right now in the second round of the playoffs, and they're down 3-1 to Texas. So that may end, their season may end at some point very soon. But you know, those guys getting some really good, I think, reps at the American League level, and that can only help them. But they do have some other kids in the major junior ranks largely, and one of them probably is pretty well known to people in Canada, Tyler Steenbergen, who scored
the golden goal
for Canada to win the World Juniors. But they do have some kids in all three major junior leagues that you know, are making a little bit of noise.
Yeah, so Steenbergen actually still playing with the Swift Current Broncos. They're doing
too.
Great. Yeah.
But that is a surprise.
Stuart Skinner's been big in net.
That's a huge surprise.
It really is, yeah. So Steenbergen, yeah, I mean, we know what he can do at this point. He's an elite sniper. Out in the queue, you got Pierre-Olivier Joseph, the first rounder for the Coyotes. And, you know, when they took him, you know, the whole idea was he was a raw puck mover, great athleticism, needed some time to shore things up. Still still doing that, but I thought he had a very good season.
He had a good playoff run too, didn't he?
He did, yeah. Charlottetown, they were surprising to me. They did very well there. And then in the OHL, Cam Dineen, another offensive defenseman, played for a very good Sarnia squad this year. And then a power forward that I actually just saw in Hamilton, Mackenzie Entwistle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good rushing ability there, big body. I think, once he finishes a little bit more, he'll be more dangerous. But some nice things in Entwistle's game with the Bulldogs.
Good. And we've got one guy primarily in Europe, Philip Westerlund, a defenseman out of Sweden. What can you tell us about him, Ryan?
Yeah, again, another good puck mover. Can play in all three zones. He's not a big defenseman, kind of mid-size. Played for Frölunda, got loaned out to Björklöven to get some more reps. He'll be back with Frölunda, which is a fantastic program for developing young players in Sweden. So it'll be good to see what he can do in the SHL next year. And then in the NCAA, I'll finish up with Cameron Crotty with Boston U. We mm-hmm. talked about their defensive situation earlier. But, I thought he had a nice freshman campaign. And it's a tough situation where they were basically resting a guy every game because they had so many good defensemen.
Right.
But he came in out of junior A a bit raw, but I think this is a good place for him. And he's the kind of guy that I think you'll see him spend 4 years, and then we'll see what he can do.
Yeah, so, hopefully some better things on the horizon for the Arizona Coyotes. And if they are going to be on the horizon, it's going to be up to these young guys to do it because I don't see this team going out and blowing their wad on free agents. So
Thomas Vanek.
Yeah. So it's going to be up to these guys, and they're going to have to do it. So that's about it for this week, isn't it, Ryan?
It is.
Next week, we'll be back, of course, as we always are, with our 30th of the 31st of the 31 NHL teams when we go over the Anaheim Ducks prospects. Until then, keep watching and keep watching the World Championships. Keep following all the great junior action that's going on right now. It's a great, exciting time of the year for all of us and for the prospects too. So tune in next week and we'll talk to you then.